Next, we have Leah Shade from the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America. And we have Donna Henry testifying as an individual who is here with her son, Brandon.
Good afternoon. I am the Reverend Leah Shade. I'm a PhD student at the Lutheran Theological Seminary at Philadelphia. And I first want to thank the EPA and Administrator Lisa Jackson for paying serious attention to this issue of mercury pollution. I want to commend them for having done the right thing by giving citizens the opportunity to be heard on this important issue, and for the four of you for sitting through all of these testimonies today. It gets to be a long day, and I appreciate that you're here. I'm an ordained clergy of the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, ELCA, having served as a pastor at Reformation Lutheran Church in Media and Spirit and Truth Worship Center in Yadin, where nearly every member of that congregation either suffers from asthma or has a relative who does. I'm also a PhD student at the seminary where my concentration is on preaching and ecological theology. So I approach environmental issues from a lens of faith, scripture, and spirituality. As Christians, we are called to cherish and tend to God's creation as part of our loving and serving God and neighbor, which includes answering Jesus' mandate to care for the least of these, both in the human community and the earth community. I come today on behalf of myself, my two children, my congregations, the Southeastern Pennsylvania Synod, and the ELCA to express concern that the tough new EPA rule to reduce toxic mercury pollution is under attack from industry groups that want to weaken this life-saving measure. I also come as an avid lover of the outdoors and fishing. Since I was 12 years old, I have fished the Susquehanna River, the Yellow Breeches Creek in northern York County, the Little Tuscarora in Huntington County, as well as numerous lakes and ponds in the Poconos. Imagine my distress as a pregnant mother, learning that I had to limit the consumption of the fish because of the mercury hidden in their bodies. And even now, I'm afraid to take my children fishing and let them eat what ought to be the clean bounty of our state streams and rivers, because I worry about how it will affect their brain development and overall health. And it's not just the fish that affect the health. It's just the breathing of the air that threatens their well-being as well as that of all children. I firmly believe that failure to implement these regulations would harm God's creation and exacerbate the already difficult situations for millions of the most vulnerable citizens, especially pregnant women, unborn fetuses, infants, and young children. The ELCA, along with our partners, the Lutheran World Federation and Lutheran World Relief, recognizing the gravity of these threats, has long been committed to addressing environmental issues as part of our call to justice, sustainability, and solidarity with affected communities. I acknowledge that the short-term cost of the measure might mean a small price increase and impose a burden on the poor. But I believe that having no regulation or weakened regulation would impose greater financial burdens and health burdens because of threats of cancer, respiratory problems, and birth defects. Whether you are a Christian, a member of another faith expression, or seeking a completely different path, I appeal to your sense of justice and your ability to see this action as one that will lead to the greater common good. Scripture teaches us that one of the duties of government is to protect those who are most vulnerable, those who have no voice, those who are least able to protect themselves. In this case, I believe that the damage done to babies, fetuses, and children warrants protection. I am committed to helping the congregations of my denomination learn how to do their part to care for the earth and support ecological justice issues. I call on this country to be morally compelled to regulate mercury pollution to protect our most vulnerable citizens. For the EPA to succumb to the temptation to weaken the rule based on the argument of increased cost to the power industry would be immoral, unethical, unpatriotic, and against common sense. I call for the EPA to stand its ground and move forward with the strongest air toxics protections possible to defend public health and protect children from toxic mercury. Thank you.
Thank you. Good afternoon. My name is Donna Henry. I live in South Jersey with my three children, two sons and a daughter, 20 miles from the BL England coal-fired power plant. Currently, there are no federal limits on how much mercury or toxic pollutants can be released from coal-fired power plants. Scientific evidence shows that air toxics, including mercury, threatens the health of people, fish, and wildlife everywhere. Air toxics can cause serious health problems, asthma, cancer, birth defects. Ingested mercury acts as a potent neurotoxin and can cause damage to the brain and nervous system. My son was diagnosed with Asperger's, an autism spectrum disorder that causes abnormal neurological development. Studies have indicated that industrial air pollutants may be a contributing factor to an increased risk of autism. As a parent, I worry about what we're doing to the environment, what negative health effects it has on my children, and what kind of world we will leave for them. Mercury is a particularly harmful pollution because it builds up in the environment and contaminates our water. Nearly all fish contain traces of mercury. The EPA recommends that Americans concerned about mercury limit their fish consumption. Warnings that eating fish is dangerous are an obvious alarm that mercury is everywhere and poisonous. How can we be so callous to overlook the chilling effects of mercury present in our environment? We pollute our air, water, and soil. We kill the fish, the birds, and ultimately ourselves. I worry that if we don't take care of our planet, what we are going to hand over to our children. I've instilled in my children a respect and appreciation for the environment. We enjoy the outdoors, the beach, birding, camping, and fishing. From an early age, I've encouraged my children to not just explore nature, but to understand it and be responsible. We all have a responsibility to this planet, and it saddens me that more people don't value our precious planet and those that occupy it. We all deserve to live in a healthy environment, to breathe clean air, to drink clean water. I'm here today to help my children and your children with the hope of a future, a good future. The proposed mercury and air toxic standards will provide that all power plants limit their toxic emissions, ultimately preventing 91% of the mercury in burned coal from being emitted into the air. Reducing exposure to air toxics will significantly improve public health. We need the EPA to enact the strongest mercury and air toxic standard protections possible to protect our families' health and the health of our planet. We have the knowledge and the power to stop this toxic destruction, but I hope that we have the wisdom. Thank you for taking my comments into consideration today.
Thanks to both of you for coming this afternoon.
Thank you.
We have Kevin Oosterhout from the American Academy of Pediatrics and Theodore Carrington from the NAACP.
Hi, good afternoon. I am Dr. Kevin Oosterhout, a pediatrician and a toxicologist from the Poison Control Center at the Children's Hospital of Philadelphia. And I'm proud today to be representing the American Academy of Pediatrics at this hearing. The American Academy of Pediatrics is a nonprofit professional organization of more than 60,000 pediatricians dedicated to the health, safety, and well-being of infants, children, adolescents, and young adults. And we are proud to have a long history of supporting the work of the EPA in cleaning up the air we breathe. When our nation's forefathers met, not far from here, in 1775 and 1776, in the Second Continental Congress, they famously put to paper that we are all endowed with certain unalienable rights. It had to be unthinkable to them that 200 years later, we would have a debate on the rights of our children to breathe air and drink water free from industrial pollution with mercury, arsenic, and other toxicants. Polluted air makes people sick, particularly infants and children. Toxicants in the air, which can further accumulate in our water and food supply, cause numerous health effects. These health effects include birth defects, asthma exacerbations, other respiratory illnesses, and heart disease. Our current federal standards requiring power plants to limit emissions of hazardous air pollutants are weak and outdated, leaving children and communities to bear the consequences. This great Commonwealth of Pennsylvania has one of the highest environmental mercury burdens in the nation. Mercury is released into the air from fossil fuels, is deposited into waterways, and is converted to methylmercury. States such as Pennsylvania, as we've heard many times today, have had to issue advisories about eating fish due to excessive mercury exposure. with health concerns greatest for children and pregnant women. Methylmercury is a poison to the developing brain, and exposure during pregnancy has been associated with childhood effects on memory, attention, and language skills, and potentially cripples a child's future before it even begins. Release of fine particle pollutants is known to increase respiratory problems, and days of increased air pollution levels are associated with increased emergency room visits and increased hospitalizations from asthma. Reducing air pollution can have life-preserving effects. A 2009 study in the New England Journal of Medicine found that if we could reduce air pollution equivalent to a decrease in 10 micrograms, the teeniest bit of fine particles per cubic meter of air, we could increase the population's life expectancy by over a half a year. On a population basis, this is a remarkable impact. The American people have been waiting too many years for this important rule, and we cannot afford any further delays. In 1990, Clean Air Act amendments raised the need to assess power plant emissions. 10 years later, in 2000, the EPA determined it was appropriate and necessary that these hazardous air pollutants be reduced. And now, another 11 years later, action is still yet to be taken. The American Academy of Pediatrics fully supports the EPA's new standards for reducing toxic pollutants from power plants and supports requiring implementation of this technology within 3 years, as proposed under the rule. These vital standards will reduce emissions from mercury and other toxic metals, acid gases, and particulate matter to the levels currently being achieved with existing technology by modern plants. While some may argue that this rule will impose cost upon power companies, the AAP would respond that the high costs of pollution are currently being borne by our children and other vulnerable populations. Data from 2009 tell us that 1 in 11 children now suffer from asthma, and that the annual health care expenditures related to asthma in 2007 dollars are $56 billion. We can't afford not to clean our air. The proposed EPA standards will lead to cleaner air and better health for millions of American children and families, and the AAP looks forward to prompt implementation of these standards. We implore the EPA to insist upon timely implementation without delay. Each day, children are being born with preventable birth defects, suffering asthma exacerbations, and bearing the other health consequences of air pollution. The tools and technology already exist. We need to use them to protect our children and families starting today. Toxicologists use the concept of a LARA, as low as reasonably achievable. We know what's reasonable. We know what's achievable. It's imperative that we give our children clean air to breathe, clean water to drink, and clean, nutritious food to eat. Can there be a more unalienable right than that? Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Carrington.
Thank you. First, I want to applaud the Environmental Protection Agency and Administrator Lisa Jackson for issuing a proposal rule that would reduce the amount of toxic air pollution from power plants, and especially mercury. My name is Theodore Carrington. I'm New Jersey State Conference Environmental Justice Chairperson. The African-American communities are overburdened with disproportionate amounts of toxics, including mercury, diesel, soot, pesticides, lead, brown fields, and other contaminants that impact the water we drink, the air we breathe, and the very soil we walk on. Pollution from power plants is part of the reason that cumulative health impacts keep our community's health in peril. We have witnessed increases in asthma, respiratory problems, cancers, low birth rate, and a myriad of other health problems. Yet power plants, a major source of pollution, operate in a manner that keeps our communities at risk. We know that communities of color have been targeted as favorable destinations when deciding where to build toxic facilities. Over 20 years ago, in the landmark report written by the Commission for Racial Justice of the United Church of Christ, Toxic Waste and Race in the United States, the primary indicator used to determine where to build a toxic facility is based on race. Despite all the information we have regarding the health impacts that coal-fired plants have on our community, there is now a proposal to build a 750-megawatt IGCC facility in Linden, New Jersey, an already overburdened community. IGCC, Integrated Gasification Combined Cycle, is a process that will burn coal, turn it into energy at the proposed Linden site. Linden is located in the Union County, New Jersey, a county that already has failed to meet minimum federal health standards for air pollution. Cancer alone is above the national average in Union County. Counties in close proximity to Union County include Middlesex, Essex, and Hudson County. There are nearly 2 million people who live within a 10-mile radius of the proposed facility, probably one of the most densely populated areas of the United States. Located in the Hudson County city of Jersey City, another overburdened community, is the location of a 608-watt Hudson County generating station, a coal-fired power plant. Hudson County also fails to meet minimum federal standards for air pollution. Permitting Linden to build a coal-fired plant that will emit pollution so close to an already existing facility in Jersey City that also pollutes will increase health hazards for the surrounding communities. Union County, 22.7% black, 56% higher than the statewide average, and 25.1% Hispanic, 57% higher than the statewide average. Union County has 130,000 residents, 12,000 are children with asthma, 32,000 adults with asthma, 13,000 with chronic bronchitis, and 7,000 with emphysema. The proposed coal plant in Linden is expected to add 11.3 million pounds, that's 5,662 tons of air pollution in Union County, and that will include 5 million pounds of nitrous oxides, sulfur oxides, mercury, and soot, fine particulates, into the air each year. One of the main contributors of global warming is carbon dioxide. Coal produces 20% of all the carbon dioxide generated in the U.S. The company Purgen One claims it can generate energy using coal that it will be a clean process, clean coal. The plan calls for the facility to burn the coal, turn it into energy, and the byproduct of the process, CO2, will be captured by using CCS, that's carbon capture and sequestration process. The captured carbon dioxide will be pressurized into a liquid, piped 70 miles out to sea, then pumped a mile down beneath the seabed. This is an experimental process, and belief is that the CO2 will stay beneath the ocean floor forever. Similar CCS projects in the North Sea, one-tenth of what the Purgen proposals are, began leaking after only 13 years. Most environmental justice advocates, community leaders, and the New Jersey State Conference of the NAACP will disagree with Purgen One and do not believe that a CCS process will work successfully. We know that New Jersey, during the months of July and August, many people who suffer from asthma or other respiratory conditions have a particularly difficult time. I have visited schools in the summer and have witnessed numerous students suffering during a humid day. They were unable to participate in classrooms because of ill health. Often parents have to be called in to take the children or to receive medical treatment. If medical coverage is not available, then the health problem is compounded. If the parents are working, they have to take time off for their children, thus losing valuable work time. Often parents I've met a mother at a convention, and I was explaining to her that Purgen One wanted to build a coal-fired plant in Linden. And I explained that additional pollutants would be created in the area that was already overburdened with air pollutants. I can see she began to recognize something that was familiar to her. Her daughter has severe asthma, suffering constantly, but she said when the family leaves Linden, the problem does not exist.
And thanks to both of you. Thank you, gentlemen. Next, we have Gina E. Wood from the Joint Center for Political and Economic Studies and John Hanger from Hanger Consultants. Welcome.
Thank you, and good afternoon. I appreciate this opportunity to comment on the proposed mercury and air toxic standards, the first national standards to reduce emissions of toxic air pollutants from new and existing coal and oil fire power plants, often the biggest contributor to air pollution in our country as well as globally. As the Director of Policy and Planning for the Joint Center for Political and Economic Studies, a leading Washington-based research and public policy organization, we recognize the importance of this proposed rule and the potential benefits to vulnerable populations, especially people of color, as you've just heard. We bring a unique perspective to this discussion, and my comments will elaborate on the importance of expediting the implementation of the utility toxic rule. First, let me tell you a little about the Joint Center. The Joint Center is the nation's leading research and public policy organization focused uniquely on the socioeconomic issues impacting African Americans and other people of color. The Joint Center is the convener of the National Policy Alliance, comprised of key membership organizations representing black elected and appointed officials at every level of government, which was formed in the early 70s by the Joint Center to provide a forum for discussion and policy action on issues of critical interest to the black community. Today, on issues ranging from job creation and the economy to environmental concerns and equitable access for quality health care. The National Policy Alliance is active and engaged in giving voice to more than 11,000 African-American leaders and the millions of constituents they represent. My comments this afternoon will focus on three issues important to the African-American community as well as people of color: the health benefits of the proposed rule and the disproportionate impact of toxic air pollution on people of color, the availability and cost effectiveness of the technologies to comply with the proposed rule to reduce emissions, and that companies should stop putting profits ahead of the well-being of vulnerable communities, and the fact that the overblown concerns raised by some in the utility industry over the cost of this rule should not be given more weight than the needs of people of color, which experience the real cost of toxic and air pollution every day where they live. In terms of the health benefits, it is well known that power plants release mercury, arsenic, other metals, acid gases, and particles that all harm people's health. This is peer-reviewed scientific science that confirms this fact. Uncontrolled releases of mercury from power plant damage children's developing brains, as you've heard, reducing their IQ and their ability to learn. Mercury and many of the other toxic pollutants also pollute our nation's lakes, streams, and fish. Other metals such as arsenic, chromium, and nickel can cause cancer. Acid gases can cause lung damage and contribute to asthma, bronchitis, and other chronic respiratory disease, especially in children and the elderly, and particles cause premature deaths and a wide range of lung and heart disease. The Joint Center strongly supports the proposed utility toxic rule because it will dramatically reduce toxic air pollution for our nation's power plants and deliver significant health benefits. While some in industry focus on the cost of this rule, the Joint Center also recognizes the benefits of the rule far outweigh the cost. The value of the improvements to health alone total $59 billion to $140 billion each year. This means that for every dollar spent to reduce this pollution, we would get $5 to $13 in health benefits. I won't go into the technologies given the time, but I think you heard earlier from the Clean Energy Group about the fact that the industry can address this in a very adequate way. And there's clear examples, such as the Constellation Energy in Maryland, which I know another person mentioned as well. So let me quickly just go to the economic damages that have been cited by industry, which I believe are tremendously overstated. It is not uncommon for those being regulated to overstate compliance costs. Recently, some have even gone so far as to claim that African Americans will be disproportionately impacted by this cost of this rule. These claims are unsubstantiated and fly in the face of what we know, that African Americans and other people of color are disproportionately harmed by air pollution where they live. None of the studies used to support claim of adverse economic impacts on African Americans actually evaluate the impacts of EPA's regulations or policies, much less this specific regulation. Instead, these studies simply ascribe the economic impacts of things such as the Waxman-Markey climate legislation. Nowhere in any of the studies cited by the critics of the EPA regulation do they assess the economic impacts of the rules EPA has proposed on vulnerable communities that purport to be so concerned about. Any credible analysis of the economic impacts of EPA's regulations should assess the impacts of specific EPA regulation. EPA has conducted such analysis for all of the greenhouse gases and clean air regulations it has promulgated, and its analysis demonstrates unequivocally that the economic impacts are minimal. Moreover, the statements of groups opposing the EPA regulations fail to acknowledge the well-documented disproportionate impacts of dirty air and greenhouse gases on people of color. These include the impacts I previously mentioned: cancer, respiratory and cardiac disease, lost days from work and school, and premature deaths. In conclusion, for over 20 years has already been mentioned that the Clean Air Act has required EPA to implement regulations to control the emissions of hazardous air pollutants. EPA is now under a court order deadline to finalize the rule by November of 2011, and the rule must move forward. Because the health benefits so dramatically outweigh the cost, and because it is time to end the toxic emissions from power plants polluting our cities and towns, the Joint Center wholeheartedly supports EPA's proposal. We urge the agency to keep this rule strong and complete on schedule. Thank you so very much for your time and the opportunity to share my comments with you this afternoon.
I want to thank you for those comments by repeating again something that I noted this morning, which is one of the things we've been trying to do in our rulemakings is to engender greater involvement by some groups that had not been able to actively participate in rulemakings in the past. And we're seeing just this afternoon some very active involvement from both members of the public who are not representing groups, from the faith-based communities, from the medical profession, and from the environmental justice community, which is really going to help us a lot in having a much broader perspective and do a better job in completing this rulemaking. So thanks to you for coming.
And thank you
as well.
Thank you very much. My name is John Hanger. Until January of this year, I served as the secretary for the Pennsylvania Department of Environmental Protection under Governor Edward G. Rendell. As secretary, we actually had a mercury rule, a state mercury rule, because the federal government had not moved forward. And as you, I think another witness testified, unfortunately, the Pennsylvania Supreme Court overturned that state mercury rule, largely because of the federal machinations. It's inside baseball, and I'm not going to get into it here. But we desperately need for the EPA to move forward with the toxics rule here in Pennsylvania. I was also a commissioner of the Pennsylvania Public Utility Commission from 1993 to 1998, and I did found and act as the founding president and CEO of Penn Future, an environmental organization here in Pennsylvania. I say ditto to the health statements that everybody has made. I want to focus on a couple of the arguments that critics of the rules have made, and specifically the concern that the rule somehow or another, if enforced, would endanger reliability. I've looked very seriously at this criticism because I, as a former utility regulator, take electric reliability as really a non-negotiable need. And because the nation has excess capacity, typically 50% more generation capacity than required for the reserve margin, and because the nation is building more new generation all the time of all types, and because we have demand response and energy efficiency that can work on the demand side, and because we have new large amounts of natural gas, for all of those reasons, the concerns about reliability are false. This rule will not endanger reliability. To the extent that an individual plant retirement may cause a local reliability issue, the rule should have flexibility in it. To allow EPA to grant a waiver for just that plant, but only to allow the plant to run for reliability reasons, not all the time for economic reasons. We did that here in Pennsylvania. We are retiring about 1,000 megawatts of coal plants in this region. And the PJM, which is the reliability organization, said they needed a little more time to close those plants in order to protect reliability. And we were able to grant that time, but only allow them to run genuinely when they're needed to keep the lights on, not to make revenues for the owners of the plants. Now is the time to get this done. In fact, it's overdue. In fact, now is a great time because we have the excess capacity, we have building capacity, and we have all of that gas. Gas does not emit mercury, does not emit toxics. We're talking about coal and oil. It's also the case that gas in some may be cheaper. There are power plants today fueled with both coal or gas, and most of them are switching to gas because it's a lower-priced fuel. So it may be the case that this is not only cleaner, but cheaper. Time will tell on that account. I think it's also very, very important to recognize that allowing these dirty old coal-fired power plants that at the time of the original Clean Air Act everybody thought would be retired by now is unfair competition for other owners of power plants and on the demand side. Power plants that don't emit mercury, don't emit toxics, are competing against these plants that do. And that's unfair to renewables, it's unfair to the demand side of the market options, it's unfair to natural gas plants, it's unfair to nuclear plants. There are a lot of generation options that do not emit toxics. And just on a simple basis of what's fair in the competitive electricity market, this rule is creating a level playing field, not an unlevel playing field. Last but not least, the owners of those power plants that may have to make a decision about whether to close or refuel with gas or to clean up have known this day was coming. They've, in some cases, successfully put this day off through litigation over the years. This has not been sprung on anybody. In fact, it is overdue. It is time to do this. And I want to congratulate the EPA for coming forward with a strong, wise rule, and I urge you to stick to it.
Thank you. Let me do one quick follow-up, which is you did touch on the reliability issues, which are important to us, and it sounds like you went through a process of working out ways of dealing with potential reliability concerns. So if you have an opportunity as a follow-up to submit to the docket any comments on exactly how that was done or things we can learn from the process that you went through, we would welcome those.
I'd be glad to do that. It was for the Eddystone plant and the Crombie plants in this region. It was worked out in connection with the PJM independent power or regional transmission organization as well as the owners of those power plants. So I'd be glad to do that.
Thank you very much. Kevin?
Actually, John, this is actually a follow-up on Rob's follow-up. If you have any thoughts in your comments on whether that sort of system is sort of unique to the way that PJM is run, or if it would be, you know, replicable or replicable with some changes in some of the other RTOs and the ISOs, that would be really helpful.
Yes, it's not unique by any means. It's a simple analysis of whether a plant is needed in the local area in order to protect reliability. Any utility control area can do that analysis. So it's not unique to PJM.
Thank you. Next up, we have Teresa Mendez Quigley from the Women's Health and Environmental Network and Amy Rowe, who is testifying as a member of the public.
My name is Teresa Mendez Quigley with the Women, and I'm Director of Environmental Health and Sustainability Initiatives with the Women's Health and Environmental Network, or WHEN, a nonprofit organization serving Pennsylvania and championing the health of women and their families through environmental action. We all agree that mercury does not belong in the brains, organs, or bodies of our children, yet that is where it is going to migrate and severely impact tens of thousands of our kids. This is my son, Tano. He just turned one. My loving legacy to him is to fight against the toxic pollutants that he will breathe in with each breath, filling his developing brain with a heavy metal that could result in decreased intelligence. It is my duty as his mother and as an environmental health advocate. We picked up Donna from a Virginia hospital when he was just 2 days old. We brought him to our home in Pennsylvania, which is mockingly referred to as the king of coal. Despite being 60% rural, our beloved state emits 15,000 pounds of mercury each year through coal-fired power plants, the second highest in the nation. We need to drastically reduce those emissions. From 2002 to 2005, my organization spearheaded the Mercury Free Philly campaign, enlisting over 30 healthcare organizations in 5 counties in southeastern Pennsylvania to collect mercury thermometers. For decades, each new mom who delivered a baby was sent home with her very own mercury thermometer, filling medicine cabinets with little toxic glass vials at risk of breaking and spilling in our own homes. We collected over 15,000 thermometers, an equivalent to 10,000 grams of mercury, from over 12,000 households. We then guided those hospitals and other healthcare facilities to phase out mercury, which is used in blood pressure cuffs, fixatives and reagents, degreasers, gauges, and even dental amalgam, resulting in significant reductions of mercury emissions from their medical waste incinerators. We invite the healthcare community and the energy sector to work toward protecting our families in Pennsylvania, including the second highest aging population in the nation, by demanding the most stringent laws possible that will limit mercury, acid gases, and other toxic pollution from power plants. We have the opportunity and responsibility to give all the Donalds of this nation a healthier life. I like to be able to tell my son that many people here fought for his health, worked hard to give us safer energy, and ultimately give him a more promising future. It's my job as a mother, a citizen, and an advocate. Let's make this happen now. Thank you.
Thank you. Ms. Rowe.
Hello, my name is Amy Rowe. I'm from Delaware. I want to thank you, the EPA, for proposing these regulations. And I came up from Delaware today to share with you a story about my life and how this affects me. I'm from the Delmarva Peninsula. My father was born on the Delmarva Peninsula. My grandfather was born on the Delmarva Peninsula. My great-grandfather, it goes back generations to the colonial days. My family were fishers. They fished the rivers. This is a relationship that I have with our local rivers that extends back for many generations. And it's a very important relationship to me. It was passed down to me as my legacy. This is my culture. This is my society, my community, my interaction with the natural world. Now, as I said, I live in Delaware, and if you were to come to my house, I would walk you down to the river. I took a picture so that you could see. This is the warning that you see on the riverbank in my house. It's put out by my state. The state of Delaware regulates what, fish consumption advisories, and they've decided that the Delaware River, the Atlantic coastal areas, many rivers in Delaware, lakes and ponds, have so much mercury in the water, other contaminants too, but in this case this is mercury, that the fish aren't safe to eat. We poisoned our river. And now our fish are so polluted that it's hazardous. And we have these signs all over our state, all over Delaware. You see signs like this.
Well, I see people straining to read the language just below the warning. Could you read that to us, please?
I can read you the English. It's translated in Spanish. It says, warning, it is recommended that no fish be eaten from these waters. For more information, call Department of Natural Resources and Environmental Control and the Division of Public Health, Office of Environmental Health, and their phone numbers are listed.
So. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Sure. When my ancestors came to this country, the rivers were clean. This is before coal. This is before electricity. And through the process of industrializing, we've poisoned those rivers. Now, this is my legacy to the future. I'm a utility customer. I'm responsible. The electric light in this room right now, this is coal. It's very unfortunate that the relationship between me and the river now has to go through this. It goes through the electric grid. So to clean this up, to clean our river up, to make this connection between us and our rivers something that's wholesome, something that's nutritious, something that feeds the soul and our well-being is so important. You can't put a dollar amount on that. This is the future that we're talking about. And as a utility customer, I just want to respond to some of the comments some other folks made about costs. I'm a utility customer. I'm paying the cost. I pay the cost every month on my electric bill, and it's worth it to me. It's worth it to me to reduce the amount of mercury in our environment and to make our rivers places where we can enjoy them in the future. Thank you.
Thank you, and thanks to both of you for coming this afternoon. The next panel will be Geneva Boyer from the Sierra Club and Trina Bindra, also from the Sierra Club.
Hi, I'm Geneva, and I woke up at 3 a.m. this morning to drive down here from Boston, and I would like to give my testimony in verse.
Okay.
Burning coal's cheap and easy and fits in our plan, but though some can afford it, not everyone can. When mercury flows in young mother's veins, because it floats in the air and it falls in the rains. When the toxins are fed to the baby just born, but they're in water too, so the mother is torn. When the baby grows up, less able to think, for the fish that he eats and the water he drinks. When the child's asthmatic due to smog in the air, and he winds up again in the emergency care. This is not cheap, nor easy. This is out of our minds. When we sell out to coal and we tie our own binds, and we laugh in the face of those in the way, and they beg us for help, but we've nothing to say, because coal makes us crop it. Coal turns on the lights. But how in the world does that give us the right to kill thousands of people, hurt millions of lives, attack thousands of hearts, and yet not blink an eye? There is nothing to say. There is nothing to see that will excuse you not passing this MACT.
Thank you.
So, I was put in the position to follow Geneva and her wonderful verse. As she said, we woke up at 3 o'clock this morning to drive over 7 hours from Massachusetts because we feel so strongly about the passing of this rule. We are also representing a number of students and residents of Massachusetts who weren't able to come today. I am a developmental therapist. I specialize in working with children with autism.
A little bit louder, please.
Sorry. I'm a developmental therapist. I specialize in working with children with autism. I'm going back to school in September for graduate studies. And there is, I know that you've heard this a number of times today, but there is increasing evidence linking the poison from mercury to autism prevalence. And now there are significant studies going on that link the proximity of children to coal plants and the increased prevalence of autism. So again, I see families deal with this and cope with this every day in my work. And so if that is just one thing alone, then I support everything that you're doing and the MACT proposal. I also have a short testimony from someone who couldn't be here today that I'm going to read.
Sure.
We have spoken with Banyan Environmental, a Rhode Island startup out of Brown University's engineering department that is working hard on an emissions control technology that has the potential to be substantially cheaper and more effective than existing solutions for capturing mercury from power plants. The company said this to us. Having an established market for environmental solutions is absolutely critical for the collaboration between the scientific and investment community. The risk for complex technology innovation in environmental health markets like this should be focused on science and less on the fear of whether or not there is a market. It's an enormous roadblock for investment and innovation. We strongly believe that as regulations bring the much-needed certainty in the market, more innovation will be possible as the stability in the market opens the door for more investment. Ultimately, the utility industry will be the biggest beneficiary of federal mercury policy because the cost to comply with will unequivocally decline with a stable market. Accelerating the path to solutions, not simply to meet requirements, but to address the health requirements, will relieve the long-term uncertainty of coal, concurrently maximizing health and wealth for moms, babies, and the utility industry. Thank you.
Thank you. And Ms. Boyer, as good as our court reporter is, I suspect he probably had a hard time keeping up with the verse. If you don't mind either taking the time to write it down now and give it to him, or if you want to submit it to the docket later on, sometime before July 5th. We'll make sure we get it into the record.
Sure. It'll be handwritten if I submit it now. I just wrote it out in the waiting room. So.
That would be fine. That would be fine.
Okay.
Thank you. Okay. We have another member of the public testifying, Coralie A. Pride, and Josh Nelson from Credo Action from Working Assets.
Coralie Pride from Wilmington, Delaware. I, too, have come to urge the EPA to make sure that these regulations are enacted as quickly and thoroughly as possible. As we know, the state regulation simply is not sufficient to control these pollutants from coal-fired plants. Pollutants don't respect state lines. Pollutants made in Ohio don't stay in Ohio. As we've already heard from the pollutants made in Pennsylvania, the mercury goes over into New Jersey, where they've done a great deal to limit the pollutants, but it does no good. It will still affect all the unborn children and the young growing children in New Jersey. Particulates emitted from Pennsylvania will continue to cause asthma attacks in children in Union County, New Jersey. So mercury compounds will also go out and land in the ocean, be converted by algae to methylmercury, and be carried by the currents around the world. So it's very important that we have most wide-ranging geographically wide-ranging regulations that we can enact. I'd also like to address the issue of cost. I understand that right now the best practice method is to add activated carbon to remove elemental mercury from the streams. And that's more cost-effective than the old methods used to be, but it still costs something. It probably adds 2 or 3% to the cost of delivered electricity. But I just read something last week. There's a patent out from Berkeley which will use bromine instead, and that will reduce the cost to one-tenth of that cost. So for Amy Rowe's electric bill of $100, it'll be just 30 cents added, and I'm sure she's glad to pay that. And then we just heard from the previous speaker from Massachusetts, Brown University has also come up with a new idea to get rid of mercury more cost-effectively. And that's how it's always been in American industry at its best. When new regulations and new knowledge comes up, our industries react by finding new ways to do things that are often better than the old ways of doing things, so they become actually cheaper for the companies, and it makes us more cost competitive on the worldwide basis. So regulations aren't going to damage our industry over the long run. That's just not what history has shown. They will help us. And at the same time, while we can bring the costs of getting these toxins out by research, if we don't get them out, if we continue to put mercury and arsenic particulates into the air and water, the costs to us in health care are going to just go up and up and up. The costs and lost resources, like food, are going to continue to go up. It's very clear. It is really time to enact these regulations. If we do, this is a global problem, but if we at least enact these regulations now in the U.S., then these beautiful toddlers we've seen running around here, by the time they have their own children, maybe they will be able to eat the fish out of our freshwater streams. And maybe if we can begin to become competitive and pass this research out, they can stop burning coal in such a dirty way in China. And someday, many, many decades from now, perhaps it will be safe to eat all tuna fish again. So I urge you to pass these regulations, and I look forward to the day when I can come back and talk about regulating carbon.
Thank you. Mr. Nelson.
Good afternoon. My name is Josh Nelson, and I'm a campaign manager with Credo Action. Last month, we let our members know that the EPA is accepting public comments on the mercury and air toxics rule, and the response has been overwhelming. Credo members were shocked to learn that there are currently no federal limits on mercury pollution, and they are outraged that coal companies can dump unlimited quantities of mercury pollution into the atmosphere without paying for it. In total, more than 78,000 Credo members have submitted comments supporting the rule and thanking the EPA for proposing long-overdue Clean Air Act standards to protect our nation's communities from the threats of toxic air pollution from power plants. Power plants are the largest source of toxic air emissions in the United States, and yet no national standards exist to protect communities from toxic air pollution from these sources. In addition to mercury and arsenic, power plants emit lead, other heavy metals, dioxins, and acid gases. Even in small amounts, these extremely harmful air pollutants are linked to health problems such as cancer, heart disease, brain damage, birth defects, asthma attacks, and even premature death. Without strong protections, thousands of people will continue to suffer. On a personal level, I'm concerned about how mercury pollution will impact my future. I'm 29 years old, and my girlfriend and I are planning to start a family in the next few years. Due to mercury pollution from filthy coal plants, we already have to pay careful attention to what types of fish she eats and where they came from. And we're already asking ourselves some frightening questions about what could come to pass as a result of unchecked mercury pollution. Nobody should have to ask these types of questions when they are thinking of starting a family. But unfortunately, we have to do so, along with millions of other Americans. When the EPA was created in 1970, it was charged with protecting human health and the environment. Yet more than 40 years later, there are still no federal rules regulating this dangerous pollution. On behalf of myself and more than 78,000 concerned Credo members nationwide, we urge the EPA to move forward with the strongest rules possible for limiting mercury pollution from power plants. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. One quick question. Credo stands for?
It doesn't stand for anything. It's just the name.
Okay. Great. Thank you to both of you. I'm going to take the prerogative of the chair and ask for just a five-minute break. But when we come back, we're going to have Jeff A. McNelly from ARIPA and Brenda Assel, HCWH U.S. Climate Policy Coordinator. We'll be right back.